conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio network. Finally, thank God, there was some really good news last week with the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling that President Trump has immunity for his acts as president. As of this broadcast, the results and effects of the High Court's decision were still being discussed and debated, but it appears that it broadly impacts in one way or another most of the political left's savage war of lawfare against Trump, and should or could lead to the dismissal of these bogus criminal cases against the 45th president. It remains to be seen how all this will play out in the courts with all these cases, which have cost Trump close to $100 million in legal fees at this point. But let's hope for the best. The other big news recently regarding the U.S. presidential race was President Joe Biden's disastrous performance during the first presidential debate this year on June 27, in which Biden's accelerating cognitive decline was readily apparent for all the world to see, including some 51 million Americans who tuned in to watch the live debate. Even with Biden apparently getting coaching from someone or someones via an earpiece, his bungled responses to questions and to Trump's comments showed he could not keep himself from mumbling and trailing off again and again. Polls can and often are biased and rigged, but overall, the post-debate polling on Biden's fitness to serve as president and run for re-election are horrible. His Democrat donors and backers are widely said to be in panic mode, trying to decide what to do about the now obvious mental decline of our supposedly illustrious current occupant of the White House. At this point, unless Joe Biden voluntarily decides to step aside and let another communist and globalist servant take his place as a Democrat Party's candidate for president in November's election, Biden's cabinet would have to vote to remove him as his party's candidate. He could also be impeached and removed from office, but with Democrat control of the U.S. Senate, that is rather unlikely, I'd say. As of this broadcast, Joe Biden is insisting he just had a bad night during the debate and has no intention of stepping down. Again, we'll have to see how this situation plays out in the coming weeks and months. As I said before, I wouldn't be surprised if Biden could be persuaded to step aside both as current president and presidential candidate, so long as his successor promises to pardon Biden's son, brother, Joe Biden himself, and any other Biden family members who may be charged with a crime or crimes and convicted, given all the evidence of appalling corruption Joe Biden and family members have been involved in for so long. Of course, the Supreme Court's presidential immunity ruling would protect old Joe from his lawless actions while president concerning the madness of the mass illegal alien invasion of America Biden and his criminal regime and its supporters have brought about, with estimates of up to some 20-plus million illegals having been paid, otherwise supported with food, water, shelter, medical care, etc., and even transported via billions of U.S. taxpayer dollars to come to and stay in the U.S. This invasion has been direct, indirect, blatant violation of our nation's immigration laws. Though there was the horrendous, absurd, bipartisan, sham immigration legislation making all this illegality legal, which was rammed through the Senate by Biden's partner in crime and, in my opinion, the illegitimate Senate Majority Leader, the always smug, arrogant, and self-righteous Chuck Schumer. But thankfully, for now at least, it's been held up in the Republican-controlled House of Representatives. Election integrity activist retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant General Thomas McKinnery, who I presume has contacts within the U.S. intelligence community, has said the 2020 U.S. election will go down as the most corrupt in history. In 2022, according to McKinnery, same people who threw the 2020 election, this time concentrated on the U.S. Senate elections, or rather races and elections. And instead of Republicans picking up numerous Senate seats, the Communist Democrats, as the general refers to them, picked up those seats, handing Senate leadership to the vile Schumer. Now, we have to remember that despite his accelerating cognitive decline due to dementia, Parkinson's disease, or whatever, Joe Biden, the evidence strongly suggests, has been a longtime gangster and thug for the communist left, while fabulously enriching himself and his family members. And during his presidency, Joe Biden has shown himself to be a loyal servant of the communists, their allies, the globalist crazies of the World Economic Forum and United Nations, and corrupt oligarchs with their enormous wealth tied up with the Communist Chinese Party in the Chinese economy. The lawless Biden regime and its supporters creating and financing the staggering, unprecedented illegal alien invasion of the U.S. is exactly what the communists and their globalists and oligarch allies want in order to utterly destroy America and turn it into a totalitarian socialist hellhole subservient to communist China. I think it's safe to say that Joe Biden can be regarded as an agent of the Chinese and American communist parties, though he does stand up to the CCP here and there so as not to be so obvious about his actions. Nevertheless, just look at all the things Biden has done to help the CCP and hurt America. We've detailed these actions time and again on previous programs, so I won't go into them here. To better understand how Joe Biden and his many powerful supporters and allies think and behave, you have to look at the religion of communist ideology. The true believers of the communist left are essentially religious fanatics, like Islamic jihadists. As I said before, there are key characteristics of totalitarians. These include often seething, self-righteous hatred disguised as righteous indignation at supposed great injustice. Hence, for example, we have the supposed great threat to the planet of the boogeyman climate change, and all the stupid, self-destructive madness Western believers of this ideological rot promote in order to combat it. They actually want to wipe out our oil and gas energy industries, along with our internal combustion, automotive, and related industries, destroying millions of U.S. jobs and severely damaging the U.S. economy in the process. But they don't care. For these people, we have to save the planet for these people and redistribute our, not their, wealth to the nation's poor. And to hell with the law or reason. This brings up another characteristic of totalitarians. The ends always justify the means to achieve their goals. Thus, Joe Biden and his cohorts could care less about U.S. immigration law. They are hell-bent to bring about America's utter destruction and to hell with the law unless it's tailored to bring about the ends they seek. A third key characteristic of totalitarians is outrageous hypocrisy. So, totalitarian worshippers believe that they are entitled to keep their wealth and power, and you and I must give up our money, property, and freedoms in order to bring about the true equality, social justice, and the like for the world's populations. If you've read George Orwell's apocalyptic novel 1984 about a totalitarian state controlling Britain and other parts of the West, you get a good idea of how totalitarians operate. And you can better understand Biden speak, as I call it. By this I mean, as commentator David Zhang has observed about the Chinese Communist Party, what they state as true is often a lie. What they attack as lies are often truths. Therefore, war is characterized as peace. Lies are truth. Hate is love and concern for the welfare of humanity. Slavery is freedom. Communism is democracy, and so on. I wanted to make a few more comments about the presidential debate. I thought I heard Trump say during the debate, hosted this time by CNN, aka the Communist News Network, that the debate was a, quote, waste of time. This explained why he would at times sidestep directly answering the host's contrived questions to him, such as what would he do to help people struggling with drug addiction? And does he intend to deport, every single illegal alien in the country, including those married to citizens and who have jobs? Instead, Trump used his limited time to speak to and confront Joe Biden about his actions bringing about the disaster of mass illegal immigration and countering much else of what Trump did as president. That is, Trump had secured the border, of course, we know. Here's a question Trump did more or less directly answer on will he accept the official results of the 2024 election?
President Trump, the question was, will you accept the results of the election, regardless of who wins, yes or no, please?
If it's a fair and legal and good election, absolutely. I would have much rather accepted these, but the fraud and everything else was ridiculous. And if you want, we'll have a news conference on it in a week, or we'll have another one of these in a week. But I will absolutely, there's nothing I'd rather do. It would be much easier for me to do that than I'm running again. I wasn't really going to run until I saw the horrible job he did. He's destroying our country. I would be very happy to be someplace else, in a nice location someplace. And again, no indictments, no political opponent stuff, because it's the only way he thinks he can win.
Here's another couple clips from the debate, this time over Biden's immigration disaster, which, as I said, is actually intentional and desired by Biden's handlers and supporters.
Let's turn now to the issue of immigration and border security. President Biden, a record number of migrants have illegally crossed the southern border on your watch, overwhelming border states and overburdening cities such as New York and Chicago, and in some cases causing real safety and security concerns. Given that, why should voters trust you to solve this crisis?
Because we worked very hard to get a bipartisan agreement that not only changed all of that, but made sure that we are in a situation where you had no circumstance where they could come across the border with the number of border police there are now. We significantly increased the number of asylum officers. Significantly, by the way, the Border Patrol endorsed my position. In addition to that, we found ourselves in a situation where when he was president, he was separating babies from their mothers, putting them in cages, making sure the families were separated. That's not the right way to go. What I've done since I've changed the law, what's happened? I've changed it in a way that now you're in a situation where there are 40% fewer people coming across the border illegally. That's better than when he left office. And I'm going to continue to move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either. Look, we had the safest border in the history of our country. All he had to do was leave it. He decided to open up our border, open up our country to people that are from prisons, people that are from mental institutions, insane asylum, terrorists. We have the largest number of terrorists coming into our country right now, all terrorists, all over the world, not just in South America, all over the world. They come from the Middle East, everywhere, all over the world they're pouring in. And this guy just left it open. And he didn't need legislation, because I didn't have legislation. I said, close the border. We had the safest border in history. In that final couple of months of my presidency, we had, according to Border Patrol, who is great, and by the way, who endorsed me for president, but I won't say that, but they endorsed me for president. Brandon, just speak to him. But look, we had the safest border in history. Now we have the worst border in history. There's never been anything like it. And people are dying all over the place, including the people that are coming up in caravans.
Thank you, President Trump. President Biden?
The only terrorist who's done anything crossing the border is one who came along and killed three, under his administration, killed an Al-Qaeda person, come in his administration, killed three American soldiers. That's the only terrorist that's there. I'm not saying that no terrorist ever got through, but the idea they're emptying their prisons, we're welcoming these people, that's simply not true. There's no data to support what he said. Once again, he's exaggerating, he's lying.
President Trump, staying on the topic of immigration, you've said that you're going to carry out, quote, the largest domestic deportation operation in American history, unquote. Does that mean that you will deport every undocumented immigrant in America, including those who have jobs, including those whose spouses are citizens, and including those who have lived here for decades? And if so, how will you do it?
Just one second. He said we killed three people. The people we killed are al-Baghdadi and Soleimani, the two greatest terrorists, biggest terrorists anywhere in the world, and it had a huge impact on everything, not just border, on everything. He's the one that killed people with a bad water, including hundreds of thousands of people dying and also killing our citizens when they come in. We are living right now in a rat's nest. They're killing our people in New York, in California, in every state in the union, because we don't have borders anymore. Every state is now a border. And because of his ridiculous, insane, and very stupid policies, people are coming in and they're killing our citizens at a level that we've never seen. We call it migrant crime. I call it Biden migrant crime. They're killing our citizens at a level that we've never seen before. And you're reading it like these three incredible young girls over the last few days. One of them, I just spoke to the mother, and they just had the funeral for this girl, 12 years old. This is horrible what's taken place. What's taken place in our country, we're literally an uncivilized country now. He doesn't want it to be. He just doesn't know. He opened the borders. Nobody's ever seen anything like. And we have to get a lot of these people out, and we have to get them out fast, because they're going to destroy our country. Just take a look at where they're living. They're living in luxury hotels in New York City and other places. Our veterans are on the street. They're dying because he doesn't care about our veterans. He doesn't care. He doesn't like the military at all. And he doesn't care about our veterans. Nobody's been worse. I had the highest approval rating for veterans taking care of the VA. He has the worst. He's gotten rid of all the things that I approved. Choice that I got through Congress, all of the different things I approved, they abandoned. We had by far the highest, and now it's down in less than half, because he's done all these great things that we did. And I think he did it just because I approved it, which is crazy. But he has killed so many people at our border by allowing all of these people to come in.
Our system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with dealing with everything we have to do with. Look, if we finally beat Medicare.
These hordes of illegal aliens are being brought here with your taxpayer dollars to, according to current U.S. Census procedure, be counted as voters and create new congressional districts for a super communist Democrat and rhino, that is Republican name only, majorities in Congress, and radically transform America. They are also being automatically registered to vote, as they are being signed up for yet more taxpayer-funded benefits in a number of jurisdictions. I've seen speculation on Infowars.com that the political left also wants to recruit illegals to be United Nations troops to quell unrest in a future totalitarian-run USA. You can be sure they are being brought here to serve no real good for America. Besides vicious criminal gangs and terrorists pouring across our border, there has been concern about the tens of thousands of military-aged Chinese males also coming here in recent months, who may be sleeper fifth columnists for the Chinese People's Liberation Army. And here's a video from a newscast regarding Chinese illegals being brought to Oklahoma to work on illegal marijuana farms.
It is a busy time of year in rural Oklahoma for lifelong farmers like Larry Williams and his son Colby.
It's interesting out here. You're moving the cattle, you're harvesting the wheat. It feels so American, yet there's something nefarious happening not far from here with the Chinese.
Right, yeah. Being out here all your life, you see things that you feel that are suspicious, you know?
Suspicious is an understatement to describe what is secretly happening here in Middle America. Illegal weed-growing operations. Not run by Americans, but by the Chinese. Oklahoma law enforcement shutting down, on average, 15 of the illegal grow houses every single day. They say the illegal Chinese growers come across the southern U.S.-Mexico border and then travel to Oklahoma to work at the black market grow houses. Larry showed us they're right down the road from his land.
Right here's one of the Chinese places right here. And they just built this barn in the last 8 months. And the door's open, by the way. Let me stop and blow my horn, see if anybody comes out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do see a dog.
There's a dog. That tells me somebody's here.
No one came out, but the truck out front was not here yesterday.
I've heard of stories that they're heavily armed with AK-47s. I mean, I don't want to pull in there and find out the hard way.
State law enforcement says this drone video from another Oklahoma Chinese grow house shows people rushing to hide marijuana when police showed up, hiding the illegal pot in a shed. For locals, even from the road, it's easy to spot the Chinese operations. Fences that no one else has in the area. Air conditioning units outside the barns. Vans used to transport the Chinese migrants to the pot farms. And expensive high-voltage electricity hookups to run fans and grow lights.
When I paid Tri-County Electric, it was cash. So if you figured cash, 10, 20, 30, 40, that's 40,000. There's one behind us, I think. So that'd be 50. And over by the house, there's two or three over there. I mean, who has that kind of cash?
And why do you need that kind of power?
Exactly.
Even more shocking is how investigators say the illegal Chinese growers move their product using fake Amazon vans like this one that look almost spot on. Same make and model, same logo, even fake Amazon boxes, all full of weed.
A large percentage of the black market marijuana consumed on the East Coast is derived from Oklahoma. So if you're going to go to that effort with a distribution network for black market marijuana, it is so easy to overlay that with fentanyl and other opiates that you traffic and sex trafficking and human trafficking. It's frightening and remarkable.
The illegal Chinese migrants working the farm sleep in garages in subhuman conditions. Larry has even seen them living with no heat when the temperatures drop well below zero.
Are they slaves? I mean, that's what I wonder. Are they, you know what I'm saying? That's what I think. I think it's some type of slavery.
What is going on here? These are grow houses? Or?
Yeah, I do know that they were growing marijuana because you used to be able to drive by and smell it. I soon realized what smell of marijuana was. It smelled like a skunk.
The attorney general says all the money made by the Chinese owners is sent back to mainland China.
And the Chinese are not dumb. I mean, they recognize it. They can exploit and drive behavior of unsuspecting Oklahomans through this cash transaction.
A new law that requires an affidavit before a county clerk can record a deed is slowing the problem, but greed also fuels it. The Chinese will overpay for land by a lot.
A normal acre of ground out here ranges probably, you know, farm ground, anywhere from 600 to up to the high part would be $1,000 an acre, I would say.
And what have you heard Chinese pay?
I heard they paid $3,800 an acre.
$3,800. So that's like three times.
And for the whole quarter section, for the whole 160 acres.
To Larry, some of his neighbors are sellouts. Not just selling out his community, but all of America. Even after the sun goes down, Larry's still working his land. It's in his blood.
I gotta look myself in the mirror every day, and I don't understand why. Why we our laws have allowed them to come here and do what they do.
Here are a couple of video segments from a recent Life, Liberty, and Levin television show featuring host Mark Levin and guest Peter Schweitzer, president of the American Accountability Institute and author of numerous books, including his latest titled Blood Money: Why the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye While China Kills Americans. As you probably know, the deadly synthetic opioid fentanyl, the constituents of which are mostly made in and come from China and are smuggled into the USA by the Mexican Sinaloa cartel, have killed some 250,000 Americans via overdoses. And they're saying now upwards of 100,000 a year are dying this way. You'll see and hear Schweitzer relate that the Biden family received a $5 million interest-free forgivable loan In other words, a bribe, which they have never paid back. And this was received from the business partner of the Chinese gangster controlled by the CCP, who set up the Sinaloa cartel with a fentanyl smuggling operation.
We've explained on this program that Joe Biden is a pathological liar. It's not hard to see. We've also explained on this program that he's in the fifth stage of seven stages of dementia. That's not hard to see, despite the best efforts of the propaganda media to cover up for him. But we have eyes and we have ears, we see and we hear, and we also know they're not to be trusted. But there's a third problem with Joe Biden. He has a God complex. He's going to save democracy from Donald Trump. You know, he used to say he was going to save America from Ronald Reagan. In Ronald Reagan's diary, he said, there was some talk about Senator Biden now, he's talking to his staff, candidate for president. I saw him on CNN last night speaking to the John F. Kennedy School at Harvard University. He's smooth, a pure demagogue, out to save America from the Reagan doctrine. He's out to save America from the Reagan doctrine. He's out to save America from Donald Trump. He's always out to save America. Well, the best way to save America is to defeat him. Now, in this little book, I have what's called the Constitution, also has the Declaration. And the funny thing is, he's going to save democracy in America, and Donald Trump's going to destroy it. We've never had democracy in America. I don't mean to complicate things. I understand that Joe Biden's not really trying to speak to people who understand our constitutional government. He's just trying to whip people up. We've never had a democracy. We have a republic. The only body that's directly elected in this country is the House of Representatives, not the Senate, not the President, not the Vice President, and obviously not the Supreme Court. And yet he goes on about how he's going to save democracy, and he warns people that Donald Trump says he's going to be a dictator on the first day. And he warns people that Donald Trump is a dictator, and Donald Trump talks about how he's going to put people in jail, and Donald Trump this and Donald. This is typical Joe Biden. He is a street politician. That's all he has. That's all he knows. He's never had substance. He's never had smarts. He's never said anything profound unless he's stealing the language from somebody else, plagiarizing. But I want you to hear something first about separation of powers, and then I'm going to demonstrate to you, to the whole world, that it is Joe Biden who is destroying, quote unquote, democracy. More to the point, it's Joe Biden who's destroying our republic. We're here with our buddy Peter Schweitzer, Government Accountability Institute president, Blood Money author. Peter Schweitzer, CNN's presidential debate is coming up. Joe Biden already spending $50 million on this convicted felon thing. Stalin, as a result of his activities, there were a lot of convicted felons in the Soviet Union. You look at all these tyrannical regimes, these horrendous regimes, there are a lot of convicted felons. But this case is on appeal, and what took place in that courtroom was such an abomination that Biden knows that by the time you explain it all, you're on defense. So he doesn't want to discuss himself, his own history, or his record. So, Peter, I want you to discuss with us and the American people, I'm going to ask you bluntly, is Joe Biden a crook?
Yes, I think there's no question about it, Mark. Look, here's what we know. These are all facts. They're not in dispute. The Biden family has received tens of millions of dollars from foreign actors that they have lived off of for the last several years. That money started flowing when Joe Biden became vice president of the United States. This money, the vast majority of it, came from individuals in China, Ukraine, and Russia, the vast majority of whom have ties to foreign intelligence services and foreign criminal networks. There is no discernible, legitimate business function that any of this money was compensation for. Zero. None. We know that Joe Biden received hundreds of thousands of dollars of this money via his brother. We know that his brother received the money. We know that Hunter Biden received the money. We know that Hunter Biden distributed that money to three generations generations of the Biden family. So that is the reality of what we're facing. And we're talking about not just corruption in the fact that the Bidens received this money, Mark, and who they received it from. It has directly affected Joe Biden's posture and position as president of the United States, such that he's making decisions that protect those people that sent him money rather than protecting the American people.
And we actually have witnesses, don't we? We have Bob Alinsky, to some extent. We have Archer. We have others. We have the Hunter Biden laptop in the last presidential debate 4 years ago that Joe Biden did everything he could to bury and was successful in that respect because his fingerprints are all in those emails and so forth. We have Joe Biden at lunch meetings, dinner meetings, golf events, phone calls with various business partners with Hunter Biden and so forth. And yet he's never been investigated for this, has he? The attorney general points an unconstitutional special counsel to go after Donald Trump. But when it comes to Joe Biden, he does not. And the position of the Department of Justice has been you cannot indict a sitting president. And then we have a special counsel who's investigating documents, not the finances, who definitively concludes that Joe Biden committed numerous acts willfully violating the Espionage Act. In fact, he got an $8 million advance in exchange for what appears to be the conference of classified information relating to Afghanistan for his book. So the fact of the matter is, Joe Biden, you argue, is a crook. Joe Biden, you argue, has received a lot of money. Well, let me put it to you this way. Joe Biden on a senator's salary, how the hell did he afford a mansion in Wilmington and a mansion in Rehoboth Beach? How did he do that?
That's a great question, and I think we know the answer to it. And, you know, look, here's the bottom line. If you look at the bribery statutes involving the federal government, it's not a question of just the politician gets paid. If a politician's family member gets paid and there are favors done in return, that constitutes bribery. And all you have to do is look at the timeline of a series of actions. I'll pick just one, Mark. We know, for example, based on the testimony of Jason Galanis, who is one of Hunter Biden's business partners, that on May 4th, 2014, Joe Biden received a phone call from Hunter Biden and Yelena Baturina, a Russian oligarch. This is right after the Russians had invaded Ukraine. Yelena Baturina had a lot of concerns. One of them was she was going to end up on this sanctions list of pro-Putin oligarchs, of which she is one, that she would be sanctioned by the federal government. We know based on this testimony under oath that Hunter Biden, Baturina called Vice President Joe Biden. They said hello. And Joe Biden told Yelena Baturina, please be good to my son. The phone call is over. And guess what? Yelena Baturina, even though she's a pro-Putin oligarch, never ends up on the U.S. sanctions list. And she sends $3.5 million to Hunter Biden's business. That's just one example of a multitude. You look at the issue of fentanyl. It's killing 100,000 Americans every year. Joe Biden and his family received a $5 million interest-free loan from a Chinese businessman in 2017. They don't dispute it. Nobody disputes it. They never paid the quote-unquote loan back. His business partner, the man that sent the money to the Biden family, his business partner was the head of the Chinese criminal gang that set up the fentanyl, that set up the Sinaloa cartel and the fentanyl trade. So Joe Biden never talks about, doesn't want to talk about Chinese involvement in the fentanyl trade.
And so basically, Peter Schweitzer, if in the immunity case, the Department, Supreme Court rules in some fashion that you can't pursue a former president for his prior actions, both as president and before that, and in the appointments clause matter in front of Judge Cannon in Florida, if she rules that the appointment of Jack Smith is constitutional, and should Donald Trump win the presidency, then they can appoint a special counsel, even though there's no statutory or constitutional authority, and they can pursue these issues that you've raised in exquisite detail. You've raised them over and over again. And then Joe Biden can, in fact, be investigated by the feds under a special counsel for his crooked deals and that of his family.
On a previous program, you may have seen House Accountability and Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer relate that Joe Biden and family members have committed crimes for which the statute of limitations have passed and for which they were never prosecuted. Here's video from a statement regarding this by former State Department official Mike Benz of the Foundation for Freedom Online, in which he states that Joe Biden and his son Hunter have been longtime American Central Intelligence Agency assets and thus untouchable for their criminal acts.
I just have to break this down in a video to make it perfectly plain and clear to people what's happening with Hunter Biden and the CIA. Why was I saying a year and a half ago that the reason Hunter Biden is untouchable by the Justice Department is because he was part of a CIA operation, multiple ones actually? You have to understand like what's going on here. Okay, so let me just give you like a dozen data points on Hunter Biden CIA. So the first thing is Hunter was on the chairman's advisory board of the National Democratic Institute, the NDI. Okay, the NDI is the DNC wing of the National Endowment for Democracy, which is the top CIA cutout used in our tens of thousands of NGO swarms. NED ranks number one. It was created to be a NGO affiliate of the CIA. It was created to do overtly what the CIA was doing covertly and getting in trouble for doing in the 20th century, created under the Reagan administration in 1983. And there's something called the NDI for Democrats and the IRI for Republicans, the CIA wing of the Republican Party. And they both split spoils, basically on U.S. foreign policy jobs that the CIA orchestrates. You don't get to be part of the chairman's advisory committee of the NDI unless you are CIA linked or CIA vetted. It is a CIA. It's a gongo, you know, except it's a Congo, if you will. You know, NGOs, government organized, non-governmental organizations. This is a CIA organized non-conco, a CIA organized non-CIA organization. Okay, it's the CIA. Okay, and he's on the chairman's advisory board of that. And oh, by the way, when he was at Burisma, who was the other person on the Burisma board from the U.S.? There was Kofor Black, who had spent 30 years in the CIA. Kofor Black was Mitt Romney's Sherpa to the intelligence community during his presidential run in 2012. And you know what? Mitt Romney's on the board of the IRI, who I just mentioned, the International Republican Institute, the CIA cutout counterpart to the NDI. Okay? Burisma was a CIA operation. Okay? Let me say this again. Burisma was a CIA operation. Okay? So was Naftogaz. That's the public and then respectively the private and public natural gas companies there. There were a couple other private ones in addition to Burisma. But the CIA was trying to break down Gazprom and swing the gas market from Russia to NATO. Okay? They've been trying to do this for 16 friggin' years. It's been an in-process CIA, State Department, Pentagon project for 16 friggin' years. Okay? They were trying to capacity build Burisma and shift its board to make it U.S. controlled. They're doing the same thing simultaneously with Naftogaz, the feeder that Burisma feeds into. You can even read about the power struggle between George Soros and Vladimir Putin for control over Naftogaz, the state-owned titan that has been the privatization prize of the IMF. That was part of the reason that we overthrew the Ukrainian government in 2014, is to privatize those assets because we knew that we were going to be cutting Russia off. So Western stakeholders wanted to profit from this trillion-dollar windfall if Russia could be kicked out of the European energy market. This is common activity for the Central Intelligence Agency, which was created by corporate lawyers in 1947 as its first class, okay? The corporate espionage side of the CIA operation here has geopolitical dimensions. If you kill Russia's energy exports, you kill their military, which means you kill their ability to run air defense systems to Syria. You kill their ability to run small arms to sub-Saharan Africa to oppose, you know, U.S. control over lithium and cobalt and copper and aluminum and gold and oil and gas there too. This was a long-range CIA project where Hunter Biden happened to be ass deep in exactly the number one geopolitical target of what the CIA was doing under the Obama administration, which is trying to kill Russia's energy exports. So meanwhile, you had this endogenous Ukrainian gas company that Hunter's on the board of. And by the way, who's Hunter's dad at the time? It's Joe Biden, the vice president in charge of the Ukraine portfolio, but Joe Biden spent 30 years on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, 10 years rotating between chairman and ranking member. That is the coordinating wing of the Senate with the State Department and the CIA, okay? Specifically, Central and Eastern Europe. Joe Biden was hugely involved in the Yugoslavia operation in the late 1990s and breaking that up, which again was a CIA job, okay? That's why you have to understand the structure of the blob. Whenever you see the State Department, the CIA is there and the Pentagon are there, and you just don't see it yet. Whenever you see the CIA, the State Department, and the Pentagon there, you just don't see it yet, okay? It was like, and even British intelligence is all over this LNG story. And you don't get British intelligence without U.S. intelligence. You know, the fact is they need, the CIA will lean on the Justice Department. I just did 6 hours of subscriber streams about the relationship between CIA and DOJ, and that the CIA will lean on DOJ to kill investigations into criminal activity involving assets of the CIA so that they can continue to do work that's in the U.S. national interest, even if it's a criminal enterprise, because the CIA has a license to do that. They have the license to crime under NSC 10-2. The license to do criminal activity, as long as it's plausibly deniable. And Hunter Biden was a part of a plausibly deniable CIA operation to swing the gas market towards NATO. Okay, that's why he's untouchable.
Mike Benz's comments bring to mind questions raised in conservative media about whether and to what extent rogue members of our CIA and other U.S. intelligence agencies may have been involved in interfering in our recent elections. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene has referred to these people as planted by Obama, but they may also have been selected and appointed by Bill Clinton and, of course, more recently by Joe Biden. We all know about the 51 former U.S. intelligence community officials who put out the now infamous letter falsely calling the Hunter Biden laptop information Russian disinformation. We've discussed on past shows allegations about the illegal use of a super secret CIA supercomputer system, an elections interference program used with it known as Hammer and Scorecard, and being used to manipulate vote totals via the internet, and which the CCP now reportedly has a copy, which it may have used to commit thousands of cyber attacks on U.S. voting equipment. Whether we will ever be able to uncover the truth about U.S. intelligence community people being involved in illegal election interference is another matter that remains to be seen. But for those of us concerned about elections integrity, I would say there is a dire need to investigate and, if at all possible, prevent any further such election electronic interference. Most particularly in our critical 2024 election, wherein the fate of America, as well as our personal fates, will likely be decided. That's all for another show. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can watch or listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly on the Jim Benson Show pages here on the BBS Radio and Television Network at bbsradio.com and elsewhere on the internet. Look for us with another show 2 weeks from today in the same time slot. Have a great rest of your day and evening.